strikes me that yesterday was as much a celebration of gifts and a gift than anything else. And it seems like that's the kind of thing we ought to be better at, don't you think? And so really, today I want to go through just a few verses in the first chapter of 2 Timothy. And I want to talk about that idea of gift and gifts. And I want to leave it staged in the place where this group left off yesterday. How many times do you celebrate a life and get chocolate? I mean, what a beautiful idea of the gift that is given to us as we give ourselves to each other. What a phenomenal idea. I don't know whose idea that was, but two thumbs up. I give three, but I only have two thumbs. But take a look. I'm going to start kind of towards it. We're going to look at verses 3-7. And I want to start in an entirely logical place, kind of right in the middle of the end. I want to look at verse 6 for just long enough to get us started. It says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Paul says this to Timothy, and there's some reasons behind it, but he says this gift. And so as we talk about the gifts you have, we all have different gifts, right? And we could come up with a pretty good roster of different abilities we have. Does anyone know how to make spoons out of wood? I always wanted to do that. I understand that's a unique skill to make a spoon out of a blade. I don't know how to do that. How about, is anyone particularly good at logarithms? Okay, so we're an ungifted group, right? But, you know, some of the things that I'm not good at, there are others who are. We all have these different things. How about, does anyone use recipes without looking at a recipe? See, I have to see how many granules of salt, or I will get it wrong, as my wife and son can attest to some pancakes I made a while back, where it looks like my bifocals weren't in, and I read salt and sugar. You know, we all have these different gifts. So what? Okay, how many of you don't have to measure when you do your cooking? Come on, stand up high. Okay, so a good dozen of you. So that means, you know, there are several people in that gifting category that I don't have, which is happier for the rest of you. And this is how it goes among the body of Christ. We have these gifts that we give each other, areas where we have grown in expertise, and things that we can do that others can't. Like, who can punt? Anyone punt well? We got a good punter back here. Fantastic. I punt and the ball flips backwards. And so when it lands, it bounces back towards me. I've never figured out the physics behind punting. So does it change life if I punt well? No. Does it change life if I share my gifts? Does it change life if you share yours? And so here we have Paul telling Timothy, I know the gifts you have because I kind of bestowed them on you. Use them. And so from there, as we talk about gifts, I want to set gifts in the context that Paul writes this to Timothy. In verse 3, he says, I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. And as you know, I like to wander back into the Greek a little, where he says the word clear conscience. The word actually is a word picture. It means a pruned vine, where the dead stuff has been knocked off. The things that drug down the vine from its growth were gone, and it was a clean vine ready to grow and produce. That's pain, right? Anyone here ever had any pain? How about hardship? Sorrow? Loss? Okay. So, as Paul says this, he's not just talking about a clean conscience. He's talking about where the things have been broken away that aren't productive. And that's hard. But he says, I pray with this pruned reality. Yes, it's a clear conscience because it's been cleaned off, because it had to be killed off because Paul is a sinner. And we read in 1 Timothy where it says, I'm a sinner. I'm the worst sinner. And so that's how he's able to get to this place of a clean conscience, or this pruned condition. And he says, I pray all the time. Now, is it easier to pray when you've been pruned? Is it easier to be pruned if you're praying? And so here he sets up, this has nothing to do with giftedness, but it starts the conversation. And he's trying to draw Timothy into this place where he's willing to look at his own spiritual life and where he's trying to go with it. It has nothing to do with the talent or the gift of his life. It's just that prayer matters. And it's easier to pray when we've had the junk cleaned off. And it's easier to have the junk cleaned off if we're praying. And so he tells Timothy, prayer matters. He says, recalling, verse 4, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. You know, when a community loses someone like Jan temporarily, it helps us all think of other people we miss, both gone and not gone. And he writes to me, says, you know, we parted company. There was evidently some tears and a loss of friendship because their assignments were going to be in different places. Can you think of people that you miss in your life? You haven't seen in a while for one of a million reasons. I played that game with myself, and I was thinking back through some fun names from my history. And I miss Scotty. Scotty was the catcher in my little league baseball team, little thick fire hydrant Italian kid. And I swear, I don't think he needed the catcher's mitt because his hand was that big and thick. And I remember him calling out the game as you know, catchers are supposed to be a certain kind of personality, right? And he had that in like third grade. And, you know, he's directing traffic on the baseball diamond and calling things out and you know, giving everyone their nickname and, you know, telling them, you know, it was great stuff. I miss that because you talk about people who can encourage. I was just a kid. I was thinking back through some of the other people. I remember my best friend from age 12 to about age 20. His name was Trevor. And when you can survive 12 to 20 together, okay, you all know the stories. Then there was Brian, who was a missionary's kid in college and had grown up in Kenya and would tell the greatest missionary kid stories. And we caught up just about 8 months ago by phone, but I miss Brian. And then there's John. John was he worked for Otis Elevator, and he fixed elevators. Now, I'm not sure how you get into that line of work. I think I want to go to college to fix elevators. I'm not sure how you choose that and what classes you take, but he had his own hydraulic lift in the garage because he liked working on cars. I mean, the big post, you know, lift the car up in the air. And I remember because he fixed my 1979 Pontiac Bonneville that was roughly the size of this room. You know, there we can come up with others. We have people that we have lost. Just take a moment and think, who do I miss? Paul and Timothy miss each other. And yes, there were tears, but it was tears because the sadness of parting, but there was a mission at hand that brought joy in the conversation. And so friendship matters. It's not so much that it's just our talent and our gifts that God has given us that matter, but it's where we use them and with whom we use them and with whom we celebrate those gifts that we have. And so he says, one, let's do the prayer and pruning thing and recognize that friendship matters. But then in verse 5, he says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy had a heritage. Faith matters. But you look at his story of faith, the little bit we have here, what we know is that his father was a Greek, and his mother was Jewish, and so that makes you Jewish. You're Jewish by nature of your matriarchal line, and so there was a little bit of controversy around Timothy at one point in time because there was some confusion among the Jews about why he was doing some of the teaching and it's some of the drama that happens because, you know, Christians are never having any drama in their lives, right? But he lays out just a little story for us to understand that faith for Timothy came from his grandmother through his mother to him. You think there's any pressures in life when you're known for the faith of one side of the family and it's silent on the other side? It's kind of interesting. We don't know, Eunice, his mother, fascinating name. It means good victory. Can you imagine walking through town with your mom? Hi, good victory. hi, good victory. You know, it's just interesting to think about the things that Timothy grew up with. And here was this woman of a legacy of faith, but it says that he's persuaded this same faith lives in Timothy. He'd made faith his own. Man, that's a hard handoff. How many of you had parents of faith? How many of you didn't have parents of faith? Got a mix, right? That faith handoff is hard. Because at some point, belief in Jesus has to become our own, or it's going to go away. Or it becomes the trappings of just routine. I just do it because they did it and whatever. And on we go. Timothy had taken the handoff. He had a gift that had been placed in him through some kind of miraculous laying on of hands of Paul, and then was using it and was teaching and preaching, but he had made faith his own. Not the greatest gift we can ever give is the handoff. Not where they take our faith, but we hand off to someone else a faith that becomes their own. Man, that's hard. Because, by the way, so again, how many of you had parents in faith? And how many of them were perfect? See, there's the rub, right? Because we try to pass along faith and none of us are perfect. And so, you know, how it goes, our kids pick up the things that we're bad at more than the things we're good at. And yet somehow we hope along the way there's passing the baton of faith. And Timothy had taken it. And so faith matters. Along with all this setting where we talk about talent and the gifts of God. But then it stretches beyond that. I want to go back to that verse 6. For this reason I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you to the laying on of my hands. Now, I'm wondering how you read that, because how you read that could come across a lot of different ways. It could be criticism. Come on, fan it into flame, kid. I gave it to you. It could be a little bit of a guilty thing. You know, fan it into flame now. Come on now. Or it could be encouragement. I know you've got it. Fan it into flame. And it's interesting to think about the different relationship that Paul and Timothy have, because Paul calls Timothy his true son. And so he's exercising that right of, hey, I'm your spiritual father, and I'm telling you, get to work on this. Use the gift God has given you. And if he's saying this to Timothy, what if? What if Paul wrote you the letter? Or what if your spiritual parent or mentor wrote you the letter and said, I know your gift. I've been there. I've watched it. I've helped plant it. What would your gift be? Or what would your gifts include? Areas of giftedness are often, Paul's to Timothy seems to have had a miraculous tie, but what are you good at? What do you love? What makes your interests infectious to others? What if we place that as a gift God has given you? And if it's true, the gift matters and prayer matters and pruning matters, and friends and faith matter, and you bunch all that together and you say, oh, what if this space where I'm good, where I take encouragement, where I bleed out on others the good things of my life, what if I take that and I wrap that in this space? And friends and faith and prayer and pruning and spiritual health matter, and I use, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to use that, aren't I? If your spiritual mentor had the ability to touch you again and say, hey, we both know where you're good. be using that. Because it matters. What should you be using? Who should you be sharing it with? And will you tomorrow? Because if the gift matters, you got to share it. And so then he wraps up this short piece. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." So he's challenging Timothy to do something that maybe he's not quite doing as fully as he should. Because we know Timothy was young. We know that evidently there are some people who are looking down on him because of that youth. He might have had some fear related to using the gift that he had been given. And he's saying, look, let's get this straight. The spirit of fear isn't from God. Power, love, and self-discipline. And those three words are truly interesting, the way Paul wrote them to Timothy. The word power is the word dunamis in Greek. It's the word from which we get our word dynamite. It says, you, that gift I've laid in you, there's dynamite behind it. There is power. There is explosive reality. Whatever that gift is, however humble we may think our gift is, Paul says to Timothy it's explosive because it's the Spirit of God behind it, the Spirit of power. And then he says the word love, and the word love, there's three different words for love in the Greek language, and the one he uses, the one that is agape, that we're, as Christians, we hear that all the time, but it means love without cause, or love in spite of, sometimes. And it's not brotherly love where, okay, we get along together, and we work together, and this is a good thing. It's not the love that has to do with marriage and intimate closeness. It's the love that means, regardless of who you are and who I am, I love. And so, if he's saying, Timothy, so you've got this gift. It's explosive because the Spirit's behind it. It has everything to do with love that doesn't have boundaries to it, that is part of who you are because God made you. And then he says the word that we translate as self-discipline. And it's a word that means literally to create soundness of thought. To be square and set up and to be able to build on things. He says, this is the Spirit of God in us, in your gift, whatever that gift is, whatever those gifts are, because we probably have 7 or 12 of them. Some of you probably have 132. But whatever your giftedness is, it is by nature, because God gave it, explosive. It will draw you to exercise love that doesn't have boundaries on it. That says, I will love regardless of. And it's got good reasoning behind it. And it's sound. It's not jumping all over and losing its way. But it's square and focused. It says, these are the things that God has placed in you, Timothy. A couple weeks ago, I asked the question, are you Timothy? No, you're not. But you are, you know? Because all these things are true of all of us. Could we use our giftedness more for the sake of others and for God? Okay, that puts us in the Timothy category. And so then we can roll back through and we say, you know, being pruned, it happens and it makes us pray better. And so yes, we recognize that in that context, we want to be in relationship because friends matter and faith matters and fear matters. It says that this is not a spirit of fear that God gives. Is it possible that the places where we have fear are the places we have the most opportunity to grow? And the places we don't have fear, we have the greatest ability right now to serve. It doesn't mean that we can't cross those over and do other things, but just think about the possibility. Where am I afraid? Should I grow there? Remember that guy named Moses? Remember how anxious he was to start leading? God picked somebody else. I'm no good at this stuff. He grew a little. It's just interesting to think through the number of biblical heroes who started at a place of fear and God called them out of the fear. For then they did use what they were good at. It made a difference in life. So, God doesn't give the spirit of fear. The power, love, and self-discipline, He planted it in your giftedness. Because what you're good at matters. And if Paul says to Timothy, fan it into flame, what if he's saying the same to you? Go use it. Be His child. Rest your fear in Him. And what are you going to do tomorrow? What if you pass out your smile, your chocolate, your faithfulness, your hopes, and your gifts tomorrow? Just a thought. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You for legacies of faith that surround us. Thank You for the small stories as well as the great epic heroes. And help us recognize that the small stories and the great epic heroes sure look like they start the exact same way. And then, Lord, I pray that You would place us among those who can use us for their part of their story. We take our gifts that You've given us. I pray You help us give them back to You for the sake of others, for the sake of Your kingdom, for the sake of those who need to connect the reality that they are others and don't yet know Your kingdom. And tomorrow, help us be more of what You've made us to be. It's in Christ we pray. Amen.
Please stand and end our worship.